I am shocked. Thank you all so, so much. You guys are amazing. You're such an amazing church to lead. You know, I talk to other pastors and they complain about their congregation. I just haven't got enough praise for you. You're amazing. Come on, you're amazing. What was interesting, I was telling Sylvie, in the move, I dropped my stereo system. Everybody say, ah. And it wasn't working, so I've said to Saul, we just got to get something because we need to, you know, upgrade it, and here you go. Thank you. Come on, why don't we stand? We're going to ask God for a miracle for you today, because today's things are going to shift in a way that you haven't seen before. Things are going to move in a way that you haven't before. In the spirit, as I'm just soaking before the Father, I'm just feeling 2019 is going to be a year of running. But it's going to be kind of when you're running, when you're sitting down. There's a movement in God that God has in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's this. Another one, it says, you can run in your self-effort and God will come and cheer you on because that's what you want to do. But there's another one where you sit and let God run for you. It's called restful increase. See, we sometimes confuse effort with getting things done, but God says you're coming into something that's already finished. Because some of you are really tired. Some of you are really, really tired. And your reason for your tiredness is not that you're trying enough, is that you don't see where you are. And I believe today God just wants to do a shift. A shift in your marriage. Some of your marriages are going to skyrocket. Your finances are going to climb. Everything about your life is going to climb after today. Today is so significant. Father, I just thank you that in the name of Jesus that you're here. I thank you that we are at the right place, at the right time, in the right position, in the right church. Father, we just thank you that our times and our seasons are in your hand. So, Father, I just dedicate this to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated. I'm going to be really quick because I want to go home and plug this in and try it. It's right in the front row. My brain's already ticking. I'm going there and I'm going, okay, what's the password for my other Apple? So it's going to be really, really good. So if we finish in 5 minutes, it's okay. Come back next week. You know, when you look at the book of Genesis, God makes this comment. He made this comment. Now, let me just give you the comment, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to preach on. When Adam and Eve sinned, he found them, and he asked them this question, where are you? The reason he asked them, where are you, is because you interpret the things around you from where you are. So when he asked Adam and Eve, where are you? He wasn't going, oh no, I've lost them. Hey, Gabe, send out a search party. Did we put a homing device on them? Let's check it out. He goes, where are you? What he was doing was this, is that the position you feel you are in is how you interpret your situation. So where you sit is so important. Where you are. So what he wasn't saying to them, where are you because I've lost you? He was saying to him, in the position where you are, describe your position and then you will see how you talk. Now, the title of my message this morning is this, Jesus is stretching your faith. Jesus is stretching your faith. Now, it works like this. We need to do a paradigm shift. There are two types of people in the world today. People that are watching Jesus and enjoying the fruit of Jesus. So when Jesus comes in and he's walking around, there are people that are following him because of the miracles. There are people that are cheering him on. There are people that are bringing their needs to Jesus. Jesus is meeting them and then they're going home. Now, I want you to understand something. This is a magnitude of the love of God. He says, that's okay. So what you do, to give you an example of this, 10 lepers come to Jesus He heals them, all of them, and only one comes back to say thank you. And he says, where are the other nine? So Jesus knew they were not going to say thank you, but yet he's still healed. So what I want you to understand is, it is that Jesus will always meet your need. Whether you are in or whether you are out. So what you have this. So we've had a Christianity which has been a little bit skewed, and it's like this, and I'm guilty of it. Have you invited Jesus into your world? You know, in counseling, we go, look at your mess. Why don't you invite Jesus into your mess? Why don't you invite Jesus into your life? That's a good thing. It's not very scriptural, but it's good. Now, watch this. When you are a guest, so if I were to invite you in my home, right, you would be very polite because you're from Faith Life. You would come in there and you go, where can I sit? You can sit here. You'll sit here. Then I will tell you what you're going to eat. My home's not a restaurant. When you walk into my home, I will not give you a menu. I will go, this is what I cooked. If you don't like it, there's Uber. Right? So what you have is this. So what we do is this. Is when I invite Jesus into my world, he is my guest. I am looking after him. I am feeding him. I am turning the heater up or the cooling down according to him. So he is a guest. He doesn't own it. He is a guest. But Jesus turned it totally around. He goes to his disciples and he says this, follow me and I will make you. So what he does, either you've invited Jesus into your world, which he's a guest, or you are in his world. So what he did was this. He goes, Matthew, come and follow me. I will make you. Now, the I will make you is so significant was this. When God picked Abraham, isn't it amazing? If you look at Genesis 11, it never tells you any of the character qualities of Abram. He doesn't say, Abram, the reason I picked you, I've got 9 character qualities that I really like you with. He just says, I pick you. See, sometimes we think we're picked because we got something. Sometimes we think that Jesus is looking, well, look at your qualities. Yep, I'm going to pick you. Look at your qualities. I'm going to pick you. So he says to Abram in Genesis 11, doesn't mention it. Genesis 12, he says this, watch this. I will bless you. I will make you. I will prosper you. I will make you great. I will be your God to your sons, to your sons' sons, to every generation forward. He goes to this. He doesn't go to Abram, will you come over and be with me? He says, I am coming and I will do it. I want you to notice with Abraham, you know what his work was? Trust. When you trust, Jesus does the work. When you work, Jesus claps. You're very sober this morning. So, see, here's the difference. Either you see yourself that Jesus is a guest in your world, or are you in his world? So when Jesus picks people, guess what he picks? He picks all of their problems. He picks all of their doubts. He goes, come and I will make you. And he didn't do this. When you get your life right, when your prayer life is right, when your marriage is better, when your work is better, come and follow me. You know what Jesus does? He takes the disciples, he takes their world, inner world, which is the private world, he takes on their family, he takes on their culture, and he says, bring everything into my house. What he was essentially doing was this, is what do we think? When I invite Jesus into my situation, I am still the center of my world. I still call the shots. I am telling Jesus what I want from him. I'm going, Jesus, this is what I want. And it's not bad. Listen to me very carefully. I am not saying that that is bad, but I'm telling you there is a better way. So if I'm in my world, I am responsible. Jesus comes up to the disciples, take your mess. Peter, take your mess. James, take your mess. Thomas, take your mess. All of Judas, bring everything that you've got and come and follow me. So Jesus takes everything that surrounds them, everything that is important to them, and he says, I invite you into my world. The difference between my world and your world is you're trying to make it, but here I'm going to make it. You know what Jesus does? He goes, you are unfinished, come into my finished work. In your world, you are not. In my world, you are, I am. So Jesus goes, over here, you are broken, but over here, you are healed. Over here, you are trying to be successful. Over here, you are successful. The huge difference is this. I am either bringing something to Jesus for him to bless because it's a part of my life, or Jesus is giving me something that is already blessed. Works like this, right? You cook a meal, and you're thinking, I don't want to poison anybody. I don't want to give anybody any diarrhea. Jesus, please bless this food. Please. I cooked it. I experimented. Please bless it so the family doesn't die. My kids used to do that. My kids, Jesse, where is he? He once said to me, Dad, the way you cook, you could be arrested for child abuse. So when before I was any good at cooking, I used to pray a lot. I prayed harder. Please, Jesus, make it work. Please, God, I curse every demon in this food. Right. So I'm either bringing the food to him to bless, or if I am in his world, he gives me the already blessed food. So that over here, I am trying for me to be successful. So I'm saying, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Bless what I am bringing to you. But on here, you open up your hands and you go, God, you've given me something that is blessed. So where you see yourself is this. You can tell the community, your mouth, it gives it away. When I am over here, you have these words. I am trying. I am praying harder. I am giving more. I am me as the center. But when Jesus says, come and follow me, take all of your stuff that concerns you and I will make you. You know what's really interesting? Both ends are the same. Over here, you want to be made. You got something. You want to be successful. Listen to me very carefully here. You are born to be successful. People go, no, Pastor, I'm humble. No, you're not. You're lying. If you didn't want to be successful, what in the world are you doing in Australia? What in the world are you doing working? What in the world? Join a hippie commune. Sing kumbaya. Come on, the reason you went to school because you want to be successful. You don't walk into a Mercedes dealer and go, excuse me, have you got any wrecks? Have you got something that no one wants because I come from church and I'm really humble? You think about it, Jesus made you because you are like him. You know, when we talk about success, you've got to look at it this way. The success is, there is no such thing as a man-made success. There is no such thing as a made man millionaire. There is only somebody that's put something into practice that God gave him. You cannot ever be successful without God, because all God has to do, I want my oxygen back. I want my food back. I want my body back. I want my spirit back. Success doesn't do it. So when God made Adam and Eve, he says, be fruitful and multiply. It wasn't strange to them. It wasn't, what does that mean? They go, you want us to be like you. So when you come into God over here, God says, you're working. So when you read the Gospels, there were people that came to Jesus, said, Jesus, bless me. And the moment they were blessed, they turned around and went. I remember a time this happened within the church. we were so flat out. I was getting up at 4:30 in the morning, going over business people, getting people out of their messes, working so hard. Because people were coming up to me with all their mess, and we'd sit there, we would pray, I would counsel, I would give finances, I'd get them out of the mess. The moment I got them out of the mess, guess what they did? They left the church. They don't need me anymore. The whole thing was they came to me because I could fix it. People will do that to you. People are going to use you. Cheer up. The only reason they're using you is because you've got something worthwhile. I remember getting ticked off, but God says, no, you're not allowed to get ticked off because welcome to the ministry. I go, what's the ministry? You're going to help people and then they're not going to do anything. You okay? Can I, church, we are successful. So you're going to get used to people using you. Jesus wasn't ticked off at it. But Jesus said, but there is more than just getting your need met. There is more than just surviving. There's more than just this little area of yours. There's more than Judea. There's the world. Watch this. He got over in their world. What was their world? Jerusalem, Judea, Galilee. But he goes, coming to my world, I want you to, you are got this diameter where you live, but coming to my world, and it's the whole world. He says for them, come and be my disciples, take this message into the whole globe. So what happens is this, over here, your vision is just about you and your surroundings, but when you come with God, now, here's something really deep. When you fulfill the worldview, God fulfills the dynamic view where you live. God never does this. I'm going to get you to bless the world, but your world is going to decay. You don't pay for... God doesn't say, I want you to sacrifice and be without so that my kingdom can increase. You okay? I don't lose out. See, the thing is, the thinking, but the dynamic shift is this. Over here, I am not paying for the kingdom of God to increase. God is blessing me because of the kingdom of God. That is why the Bible says so many people don't want to go into the things in God because they feel like they're going to miss out. Now listen, actually I'm totally off my notes. When the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and he makes his boast, Jesus says, Jesus, I want to enter the kingdom of God. I want to be your disciple. Jesus says, good. He goes, I keep all of the commandments. The problem with that statement is that if in the commandments, if you mess up one, you're guilty of the whole lot. Self-effort says this, it's 100% all the time, no lapses. So he comes up and he's boasting. And he goes, man. And then Jesus says to him this way, okay, let's leave that behind. You're rich. Sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. I used to think, oh, gee, people use that. Religion uses that statement as Jesus is against money. He's into poverty. Listen to me very carefully. Poverty is a curse. Do you know why it's a curse? You know what poverty does? Poverty says, I can't help you because I'm going to miss out. If I feed your child, my child's going to go hungry. If I give to you, I'm going to lose out. But watch this. You cannot give to God and it go into the red. Because you know, because you're smart, correct? Read the scripture afterwards. Paul says, so Peter... And John said, Jesus, we've left everything to come and follow you. Jesus says, not only are you going to have houses in this time, but you're also going to have houses in the time to come. You good? You know what Jesus was doing? Hey, you're rich, but I can multiply it.
But from your paradigm, you know what? Now watch this. Now, you good? He was given an inheritance. You know the problem with inheritance is you didn't earn it. Because you didn't earn it, you're afraid to lose it. Because if you lose it, how are you going to get it? Excuse me? If I give you $1 million, but you just go, well, okay, I've got $1 million. Somebody says, give it away. How can I give it away? Because I don't know how I got it. I got it because somebody was nice to me. But if I give it away, I haven't got the means to get it again. What? See, there was a transfer. It says, in this world, you've got to hang on to the finance. In this world, finance is given to you. So when Jesus said to him, come, sell everything, he says, you're not paying for that kingdom to increase. You are coming into where you're not looking after yourself. I am going to look after you. Now, in John chapter 6, Jesus is preaching. There are 5,000 men that are following him. And the Bible says there are 5,000 men, excluding women. So a lot of commentators believe that there was over 20,000 people that were following Jesus. Now, most of them were following him because of the miracles that he did. And Jesus looks at them and they're hungry. Now watch this. Jesus never ever will leave people in need that are listening to him. Everybody say amen. Amen. These people come and following him. Even though the motive was just bless my need. But Jesus was still blessing him. And he then turns to Philip. And he asks Philip a question. You'll find this in John from chapter 1, sorry, verse 1 to verse 14. You're going to read that during your lunch. I will read that while I'm plugging in my soundbar. Now, he comes up to Philip. Now, watch this. Where's Philip? Is he in his world or is he in Jesus' world? Work with me. Where is he? Okay, you're not going to ask. Some of you think, oh, I don't want to go. No. Philip is in here. Come and follow me. He leaves his world, but takes everything with his world, and he's now with Jesus. So he is not in his world. He's in God's world. So now, watch this. How you interpret over here. Over here in my world is when if Jesus were to come to me, Ted, where are you going to get enough finance to feed 20,000 people? You know what I would do in my world? I'd go, Jesus, I would have to max all my cards out. I would have to sell my wife, my children. I think I'll start with the in-laws. Yeah, we'll work our way down. We'll start at the top, work our way down. In this world, when you're asked a question, it's what can you do? That's why so many people get afraid when God gives them a vision that's greater than them. They get worried. The reason they get worried is because how will I pay for this vision? I haven't got enough faith for this. I haven't got enough faith for that. But Philip is not in his world. He was saying, come and I follow you and I will make you. So watch this. Is when you do a transference from I will be a disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is the one that has taken their mess into God's world and says, I can't deal with it, you deal with it. So now he's in this world and he says, Philip, I want you to pick Philip out. Out of all the 12, he picks one out. And he says, Philip, what are we going to do? Philip does a calculation and he says, Jesus, it's going to take 8 months of wages even to give them a small meal. He's thinking finance. Why is he thinking finance? Because, watch this, it's a residue from the world that he has been in. See, over here, if I say to you, I want you to take me to a restaurant in the city, but they're really good, they got a discount. It's only 700 per head. and I'm bringing, and it's okay, but you know, I want you to take me there. I'm bringing my whole family. I actually bring in my whole street because I want to impress the whole street. You're thinking, you've got 725 people. See, over in this world, it's like this. You produce your own finance. You produce your own energy. And your finance and your energy give you an amount that you can spend. Okay? So what you do, you go, I can work this. This is my capability. I can do that. But Philip is in this world. And Jesus says to him, why is he doing that to him? Because he's stretching his faith. Now watch this. If I'm on this side, so you can work with me a little bit. On this side of the pulpit, I am me. This is my world. Over here is Jesus' world, okay? So over here, when I stretch myself, I can break. Over here, I'm a rubber band. I stretch and then I go back to where I was. I stretch and I go back to where I was. My faith stretches and goes back. In my world, things go back to who I am and what I am. Watch this. Why is it that most people that win Tets Lotto always go back to where they were, but even backwards forward? Why is it that you read somebody wins $20 million? I was reading about a guy in the States. He was a truck driver. He lived in a caravan. They won $43 million. They interviewed him. And they said, how are you going? And he goes, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. What happened? He goes, I'm broke now. My wife has divorced me. My daughter's even divorced me. Everything went wrong because I got blessed. You know what happened? He was stretched. But when it was let go, he went back to living in his caravan, caravan thinking, caravan believing. You good? So see, in this world, when you stretch, you go back. But when you go into the kingdom of God, when God stretches your faith, you never go back. So he comes to Philip and he says, not doing this to Philip to irritate him. See, over here, the irritation is this. I want this, but I can't afford it. I want to have this relationship, but I haven't got it. So over here is I am trying. God says over here, you want to be self-made? Okay, you stay over there. You're over here. I'll make you. I'll take the responsibility. So he says to Philip, where are we going to do this? See, understand over here, when God invites you into his world, you become his responsibility. Did you ever stop and ponder that you are his responsibility? Because, you know, watch this. In this world, God says, I want you to let go of what makes you secure. What makes you secure, Fabianic? People patting me on the back. What makes me secure is when I've signed an absolutely brilliant contract. I come into the office and the whole office stands and applauds. I remember a time I got one of the biggest contracts in our company. Everybody was clapping as I walked in. I mean, no wonder I have a car spot. Yeah, but you know what was really thing? The following morning, I was still me. The following morning, I wanted them to cheer. Following morning, I walk in. You're late. Before that, can we take you out to lunch? Have some coffee over here. Can I have a coffee? Get it yourself. Because success over here has a use-by date. Success over here is eternal. Over here, if I am successful, I have to keep myself successful. It's like this, right? Over here, if you look at a running race, you're running 100, like Usain Bolt. The reason he's always been for so long, number one, because he had to keep it up there. He couldn't sleep in. He couldn't go into a buffet and go, I receive you all. He had to watch his way. He had to keep himself at the top. But over here, God says, I finished the race for you. So you don't have to keep yourself at the top. I'll keep you at the top. See, over here, if I'm thinking I am trying. But over here, God says it's finished. So he goes to Philip. Philip, how are we going to do that? And Philip goes, I don't know. I haven't got it. But then Philip does this. Then this little kid comes up. Now, understand, Philip had zero. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any food. He finds this kid and he goes, "Hey, psst, what have you got?" "Well, Mum sent me out and she gave me 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread." And he goes, and I love what Philip does, because he knows he's going to put the pressure on Jesus. Think about this. He gets 2 loaves and he wasn't doing it. "Hey, oh, hey, let's play a joke on Jesus. Hey, Jesus." So he comes to Jesus. See, the first miracle is that the boy gave up his lunch. Come on, anybody that got kids? When a kid is hungry, try to get his lunch off you. "You touch it, you die, Papa." "No, it's like, get the fork." That's what my kids are like, okay. So the kid goes, "Okay, here, take it." And then he's Philip, and he's holding 2 pieces of fish and 5 loaves. And he goes, hold on. I'm not alone in this. Who asked me to feed the 5,000? Whose vision statement was that? It was Jesus's, not mine. See, when we think about that we made it up, Jesus goes like this. He goes, "I have a vision and I want to involve you in it. I have a house for you. I want to involve you in it. I have promotion for you. I want to involve you in it." See, listen to me carefully. Do you know the reason why most people struggle in going to the other side? It's because we feel that we're going to lose something great and get something lesser. You feel like over here, "God, I want a 5-bedroom house. I want 2-car garage. I want a heated pool. I want a sauna. I want a helicopter pad." Right? And you think, "Wow, come and follow me. If you follow me, you'll get a 1-bedroom renter on the edge of town with no running water, electricity, or anything." Just think, you with me? What would make us think that I have a vision for this and there I come over here and God's going to downgrade me? Talk to me. Even smile at me. God came to here so that we can have an upgrade, not a downgrade. He goes to Abraham, "Leave your place where you live, leave your family, and I'll give you the world." You mean, leave my little 800 square meter plot of ground, my house, my little bit, come and follow me so that you can have zero. Religion has this: give up everything to follow Jesus and you can go to heaven with nothing. And when you get to heaven, you might get something. He goes, Abram, leave the little so that you can have the big. Leave the ordinary so you can have the extraordinary. Leave the natural and come into the supernatural. So he comes up to Philip. Philip goes, "I don't know." So you know what God, so what he does? In the kingdom, so outside of the kingdom, in your little world, 2 fish, 5 loaves. I've heard the most stupidest. I love intellectual people. I really, really do. But I've read some commentaries on this. I remember one commentator. Now, he was in his natural mind, okay? He said, "Oh, the reason Jesus could feed the fish, they were really big fish." Okay. They were really big fish. So he had 2 big fish and 5 loaves. And I'm going, how strong was this little boy? "Hey, everybody, I've got 2 whales. And man, I've got enough bread for 20,000 people." Wow. His mom said, "Boy, you've got a big appetite. I'll give you, how many whales do you want today, son?" "Oh, I'm feeling really hungry." "Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah, Mama, I need lots. I don't need the little bread rolls. I want Mount Everest rolls." And they go, "That's how you..." A kid doesn't need much, right? Over here, it's not much. You know what we do? That's why so many people dismiss what's in their hand. What did Jesus do to Moses?
He says, Moses, there's the greatest army coming to kill you. What are we going to do? Moses, what's in your hand? A stick.
That's funny. I get it. Funny.
He says, what's in your hand? Stick. What I want you to do with this insignificant dead bit of wood, I want you to hit the ocean.
Okay, is there anybody else up there?
You, army, stick.
Can you imagine going to Pharaoh, hey, you're going down. And Pharaoh goes, how come? I got a stick.
Come on, write a self-motivational book by it. New York's bestseller, How to Overcome with a Stick.
Go to the bank and you go, I want $1 million loan. How are you going to pay for it? I got a stick.
But you see, what happens is this, is how you view it. Over here, two fish, five loaves equals one lunch for one boy. But you know what? Because he knows he's with Jesus, you know what he does? He does something brilliantly. He's not trying to figure out how he's going to do it. He says, Jesus, somebody's just donated two fish and five loaves. So what does he do? I can't do much with it. So what I am going to do is I'm going to give it to you. The thing that's right in your hand now is what you need for the miracle that you are facing right now. What we do is we dismiss it. Sometimes we dismiss ourselves. I am not that good. Over here, I am working to be. Over here, I am. Over here, I think if I pray enough, read enough, give enough, I'm going to become righteous. But over here, I am the righteousness of God right now. So what Philip does, he says, Jesus, I want you to take this. And now I want you to, the first thing that Jesus says to the people that are going to be fed, I want you to sit down. Wow, now think about this thing. He asked them to change their seating position. Reason being why? In the Jewish culture, is when the priests, because in the tabernacle that under Moses, the priests never sat down. If you look at all the furniture that is in the Ark of the Covenant, there was no chairs. You know the reason why? Because the work was never finished. So the priests continually gave sacrifices. They continually worshiped. Did you know that in there they had 24/7 worship? No one was allowed to rest. You finish your shift, then somebody else came in. While you were in the presence of God, you had to work. So now he gets the insignificant and he says, you're not going to receive it standing, you're going to receive it sitting. So God says this, is when you've given what you have, sit down. Think about this. You might look at your life and you go, I'm nothing. You might think of your life, I'm just ordinary, I'm this. But God says, I can take the ordinary and feed 20,000 people. I'm here to tell you, from your father, is why have you discounted yourself? I like what Victor was saying. Some of us feel like we got 50% off. I remember when I was a youth pastor, we taught our young people that they were too valuable, no one could afford to take them out. So we deliberately used to tell, especially our young girls, and I go, when guy wants to take you out, what you want you to do is I want you to put your hand around his neck and just go like this. And I go, you do something, Pastor Ted will come and beat you up. And we taught them they were so valuable. They put value on themselves. I remember witnessing to this guy. We started witnessing, and he goes, oh, yeah, because I know your church. And I go, yeah. And he goes, I've come to your church, and I tried to pick up some girls. And he goes, but your girls are so stuck up. I go, what do you mean? He says, I tried to take a few of them out. They looked at me and says, I'm sorry, you can't afford me. I want to see your credentials.
You know why? It's because they looked at their life and says, I am valuable. I am not at a discount. Your marriage is not at a discount. You're not a 50% off. You're not a reject. So he comes into this to sit down. And when they sat down, guess what? He involves Philip into the miracle. See, over here, listen to me carefully. I'm watching the miracle. Over here, I am a part of the miracle. And guess what he did? It was when Jesus broke it, the miracle didn't happen. What did Jesus do? He broke the bread and gave it to him. But as the disciples went and gave it, the miracle started happening. You might only, God says, I want you to encourage. But God, I've got nothing in me. God says, bring the little bit of encouragement. God, what's the best encouragement you got? Have a nice day. This is when you realize what you have, amazing things happen to you. Sul and I in a restaurant. And the waitress comes over. And God starts to speak to both of us. And he goes, you didn't come here for lunch. You came here to encourage her. And all I had was, Jesus really loves you. I'm thinking, yeah, right. I'm going to look like a super Spiro. And so she's there. And all I had was, Jesus loves you. And I just said, God, I'm going to step out on you. So we both step out and we go, hey, look, I said to you, I'm a Christian. And I just want to let you know that Jesus wants to tell you that he really loves you, that he is involved. And then all of a sudden things started flowing. And next thing, you know, we're in a restaurant. Right? And it starts to flow. And then God says, you need to give her a huge tip. I'm paying for the meal. But you see, what happens is this, right? Is you step out a little bit. That's why some of you, God says, I want you to give me $5. And you go, well, it's not much. Yeah, in this section, it's not much. But over here, what can I do with $5? See, some of you have looked at yourself and you go, I'm a nobody. I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not that. But God says, it's true if you're here, but Faith Life Church, you're no longer there, you are here. I want the worship team to come up. We're going to close it. How good is our worship? Yeah. 2019's coming. We're going to be talking about vision. We're going to be doing this. And all of the things that I have been preaching on is because the Father has been preparing me for 2019. So we don't want to get scared. You know, one of our prophetic words over the church was, do not get scared because of what I am going to get you to do. But the power comes in to this church, where you are, is over here, I might not have what it takes to fix up my relationship. But over here, God says, what have you got? What's the little that you got? Give it to me. I want you to know this. As long as the fish and the bread were in the little boy's hand, it was 5 loaves and 2 fish. While it was in Philip's hand, it was 5 loaves, 2 fish with hope. Because he wasn't alone. He didn't see himself as, oh, what do I do? He says, well, hold on. I'm here because of Jesus. He's the responsibility. He gave me this vision to feed 20,000 people. You know where the energy comes in? Is when God gives you a vision. You're there, you're sitting there dreaming, and God says, you're going to be an amazing surgeon. You go, I don't know. God wakes you up and he says, I'm going to give you a business. And you go, I don't know. You're sitting there, you're playing your air guitar, and God says, I'm going to make you the best musician in the world. And you go, God, I can't even tune my air guitar. But see, the difference is this. Watch this. Philip crossed the line. Where are you, Philip? I'm in Jesus.
this vision that is before you, who gave you that vision? Jesus. Okay, so he didn't give it to you according to your ability. He gave it according to his ability. Yeah. So what I can do, I can go before Pharaoh with a stick. I can go before 20,000 people with two pieces of fish and five loaves. Why? Because I'm giving it to you. Wouldn't it be amazing today that you do something really special? Why don't you give everything you have to Jesus? What's troubling you? What's eating you at night? God, it's too big for me. I can't see a way out. But God says, what have you got? God, all I've got is I got hope. God says, give me your hope. God, I've got a little bit of faith. God says, give me a little bit of faith. God, I've got this huge mess, but my mess is in you. You got to see your mess in Jesus. Because Jesus did not just invite you, he invited your mess. I'm teaching you also today how you can witness to people. What I love about Jesus, he never said, leave your mess at the door. He says, bring your mess. Why? Because it says, when over here, are you tired? Yes, Father, I'm really, really tired. I've tried to manipulate people. I try to manipulate my boss, my wife, my husband, my children. I've tried it all. I've got all the self-help books. I've done it all. I've learned all the right lingo, and I've tried it all. I am trying. But God says, but don't you realize this? Now watch this. Let me locate you. Not all of you, but some of you are here. You are in Christ, but your thinking is out of Christ. So what you've done, you've come in. Now you're in Christ, but you still think like that person. You still think, what am I going to do with the five loaves and the two fish? I can't do it, because you haven't yet grasped that you're no longer there, you are here. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. So therefore, his mess, my mess is his mess. My weakness is his weakness. My lack is his lack. My inability to do life is his inability to do life. So you know what I do? Jesus. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. That's why church Paul said, you've got to renew your thinking. Everybody just look at me for a second, please. You know, when Paul said, renew your thinking, he wasn't doing this. Renew your thinking so that you can come into Christ. He was saying, renew your thinking because you are in Christ. Listen to me carefully. I don't renew my thinking so that I can get a better position in God. God says, Teddles. God calls me Teddles, okay? Not you. You can call me Pastor Teddles. Teddles, over here, you're trying to renew your thinking so that you can get into me, be positioned. You're wrong. Teddles, come over here. Okay, now, I want you to think in the environment that you are in. Okay, what's the environment that I'm in? All things are possible to them that are in Christ. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it in here. I am the righteousness of God. Wow, I am totally forgiven. Wow, I am accepted. Wow, I am no longer standing ministering. I am sitting receiving. Over here, I'm working. Please understand, this is from your Father, okay? You're my kids. You're not here. You are here. But God says, now renew. Philip, over there, you renewed your mind. You know how you can tell Philip had a renewed mind? He said, over here, I would look at the two fish and the five loaves, give it back to the boy and go, excuse me, go away. Go away hungry. Go away hungry. But over here, he renewed his thinking and he says, you know what? Over there, I was alone, but I'm here with you. I'm here with the Son of God. Man, he crossed the water. Man, he heals the sick. He makes water into wine. Wow! You know what? There was this excitement with Philip because, hey guys, watch. We're going to give Jesus a stick. So he goes, Jesus, give it to him. And the disciples are like this. Everybody's looking. Everybody's hungry. They're looking at what's God going to do. And Philip goes, wow. I can tell you why he did that. And then Jesus did this. You know how his faith was stretched? He says to Philip, now I want you to give it away. Philip didn't do this. Listen to me carefully. Philip didn't do this. But that's all I've got. No. Because Jesus blessed it. Jesus blessed the bread. And so you know what was happening? Philip took one loaf, pulled it apart, gave it. Pulled it apart. One loaf. Gave it away. Gave it away. Gave it away. Gave it away. And here's something important that you need to learn. I'm taking some of your time because I love you too much, okay? Jesus, he gave it away. Gave it away. Gave it away. Gave it away. There was no more food, but the food kept coming. There were 12 basketfuls left over. The number 12 represents the power and authority of Jesus Christ. So when he said the 12 basketfuls, he goes, this is the authority that I have given you, Philip. He told them, you go and pick it up because it belongs to you. You are a part of the miracle. You got to see yourself. Elevate yourselves. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, wherever you are, whatever you're facing, right now, and I want you to be just, at the moment, just be seated. And go like this, God, we're in this church because you called us. We are in this because you called us. Father, you said, come and follow you, and you will make us. So, Father, today, I want to release you from your self-effort. I want to release you that you go, okay, I'm going to stop trying. I'm going to stop manipulating. I'm going to stop doing all of that. But what I'm going to do, is I'm going to rest in Jesus. Restful increase. I am going to increase because I am with Jesus. I am not going to increase just because it's all about Ted Fabianic. So Father, right now in where we are right now, in our marriages, Father, we give you our marriage. Father, with our children, we give you our children. Father, with my mortgage, I give you my mortgage. Father, with that really hard place where I am at work, I give it to you. By the way, Pastor Victor was prophetic. There are people here that you've got problems at work. Somebody's trying to get you. But I'm here to tell you that God's going to turn it around. There are some of you here, you're looking at Christmas, and Christmas is a stressful time, going, how am I going to meet this period? Hey, you're not alone. I'm here to introduce you back to the amazing Savior that called you. And because He called you, you're His responsibility. I want you just right now, in this moment, you go, Jesus, here it is. My mess is your mess. I am no longer the one in the middle. I'm in you, and you are in me. So Father, right now, God, I just speak a spirit of rest over us right now. I speak rest in your marriage. I speak rest in your finance. I speak rest in the power of Jesus to heal your body. I speak the finished work of Jesus Christ over your life, over your ministry, over your job, over your mind, over every DNA that is in your body, over every cell in your body. I speak the finished work of Jesus, where it's no longer my effort, it's no longer my striving, it's all about you. Jesus, my life is about you. Everything is about you. And Father, right now, I let go of the things I'm not supposed to have. Father, I let go of it and I give it to you. because you care for me. Why don't you stand? Let me just pray over you before I give it over to Pastor Victor. Why don't you just if you want to, just every eye closed. Every eye closed. I don't want anybody looking around because this is about you and Jesus. If you want, just lift up your hands, and it's not our hands of surrender, but it's hands of acknowledgement, saying, Jesus, you're my Savior. You called me. You said you were going to make me, and I'm going to take you on this, God. God, today I'm taking you on. I'm coming to you, and I'm going, you promised me. You called me. I'm no longer my responsibility. I'm your responsibility. God, my children are now your responsibility. God, my finances are now your responsibility. God, all of my things are now responsibility. I am in your kingdom. You're not in mine. You're not my guest. I am your son and a daughter in your house. You're not coming to my house. I've come into your house. I am not trying to, already am. Father, I'm not trying to be a son. I am a son. I'm not trying to be an heir. I already am an heir. I'm not trying to be forgiven. I am forgiven. I'm not trying to be blessed. I am blessed. Father, I let go of all my self-effort and I accept the finished work of the cross. His life, death, burial, and resurrection. I take the whole